You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl and save her. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative. Our show. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am very excited about our guest today and thrilled that all of you are here with us to enjoy this visit. Will you please introduce yourself to all our friends who are listening?
Yes, my name is Rodney Blunt. I am an intervention specialist in the Columbus, Ohio area, where I work with students in fifth and sixth grade.
Such important work. Thank you so much for making time to join us today.
Oh, I am ecstatic to do that. We've been communicating back and forth, so I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Well, perfect timing as we think about a new school year and we think about the well-being of our youth, which is always important. How do you describe what you do?
Well, I have been in education for a long time, since college graduation, and what I'm doing right now is a combination of some of the things I've done in the past, working anywhere from K through kindergarten students through college students and older, going back to school, and, you know, 50, 60 students. But what I'm specifically doing right now is helping those young boys and girls who need extra help with their work. Usually, it might be a combination of factors, but behavior is the common denominator in my particular classroom. They each have what we call IEPs, or an individualized education plan, where they have specific areas where outlined where they have to try to work on those areas. Usually it's writing, reading, and math, and then behavior. But they might not all have that. They have different needs, those students. And it's not necessarily, even though it's common in my group, intellectual. The behavior is usually the common thing there, but we do have gifted students. We have students that, a lot of students that need extra help in all of those areas, in math, whatever, in English, and all those other areas that are just struggling. But we, as intervention specialists, and particularly what I do, is take that time out where they go to their general education classes, but then they'll come to me for that extra support so that we can help them succeed and become productive citizens.
That sounds fascinating. It really does. How did you come to do this kind of work?
Well, it really came to me. I'm still, always looking to see, how I can best do what I've always wanted to do, which is be specifically involved, not necessarily in education itself, just in education, but history. I'm a history guy. And so that's why I wanted to either be in some type of administration, which, that still might be down the road, in a college setting or teaching history, social studies, those kind of things. And so I have been an admissions counselor at the oldest historically black college in well, really in the United States, you know, they have different claims. But as far as a private school, Wilberforce University, and I've also been a college instructor. And then, you know, the job I had worked at, the whole the location of the college I was at had dissolved. So I had to find something new. And I was working as a teacher assistant, substitute, you name it, to make sure that I could, you know, stay in my field, but also provide for myself. And upon my job and how I was, you know, working with students and getting the various areas that I need to get done that were tasked to me, one of the supervisors, our coordinators, as we call them, for the Education Service Center of Central Ohio, she pulled me to the side and asked, you know, if I would want a permanent job with them. So, I said, you know, it'd be nice to have something where I can know what I'm doing every day to day. And this was just as a teacher assistant initially, but, you know, something where I could streamline, get into their program. So that's, you know, what I did for about 2 or 3 years. And then they came upon a program, actually, ironically, during the time of the height of COVID-19, right after COVID-19 had really become noticeable to people early 2020, there was a program that they were in partnership with the Education Service Center with Ohio University to get a master's degree in education, specializing with becoming an intervention specialist. And they had different levels, mild to moderate, or moderate to more severe. And so that is something that I was like, you know what? I always like to do different things. I'm very active, but I don't like to, you know, not be productive in some way. So while I was still working with them, I also picked that up. It was about a year and a few months program, and it was a lot. It was intense. But I did finish that program and received my second master's last August. Actually, it's been about a year.
Congratulations.
Since I've had it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you very much. And so that's something that I am just really new in this role, but this will be my second year for this group here.
Well, first of all, that's great. That's truly wonderful to see such a dedication to higher education. Do you consider yourself a role model?
Not necessarily. Yes, by default. You know, I think that with me, I enjoy, you know, what I do, particularly when I'm talking about something historical or you know, different things where I can impart something, but you always should realize too that you're always learning, and so that's something that I try to make sure I am recognizing and empathizing with those that I work with, the students that I work with, and I really get a kick out of that because it's hard work. I mean, it is a lot of work that the teachers and event specialists and staff do there, and it can be stressful. But, I mean, there are rewards when you see some of the students that you know, they might pass the, you know, some type of test, or they come up to you and they, you know, just beaming with pride with something that you've helped them with. And so at those moments, you think, wow, you know, so, you know, I'm doing right, or, you know, we're doing something right, you know, with the teacher system I work with and things. And so then I'm also an advisor for a couple of youth groups. The NAACP Youth Council. I'm the director of the Youth Works Committee here in Columbus, and I'm also the Mason's Youth Group. I am the district supervisor for them. So it's something that I do see as service, try to be a role model, but I don't necessarily see it as that. I see it as a need, you know, but also a passion.
That's wonderful. Well, let's talk about our youth. What can we do in the community to support our youth and help them to grow?
Well, I will say there is a lot that we can do from the education perspective. there needs to be more of support systems from, really, it's a community effort, one. I think we've gotten away from community, talking to many people in the organization I'm in. There isn't always that connection there. So when we have these levies and different things that's out there to help schools and things, there's not always a connection if they don't have kids there. And mm-hmm. I think that's a travesty, because we have to think about all the kids and students as not necessarily ours, but as our future. Mm-hmm. And when we are, not supporting these schools or these projects, a lot of kids slip through the cracks. I mean, there's a lot of parents that's having a hard time out there, teachers having a hard time. I mean, teachers in some of the education jobs, they're one of the highest jobs where people are quitting. It's because there needs to be a lot of support. It's a lot of mental health for the students, for the parents, and for the staff. And really, too, there needs to be a better connection with the parents and staff as well. It's not just one area. And I watch, I'm not sure if you're familiar with a show, Dr. Greg Carr and Professor Karen Hunter. But one of the things that Dr. Greg Carr says that, it could be, two things can be true. It doesn't have to be one thing or the other thing. And, I think that sometimes there's a lot of blame going around for different things. And I think two things can be true at the same time. I think more than one area needs help. Teachers need help. Students need help. Parents need help. And a lot of times, we're just itemizing them all, and there's really issues in every area that needs to be addressed.
I love what you're saying, because I think that's what it comes down to. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs encouragement. And the great thing about that is that everyone can be an encourager. Everyone can help someone else, and that's so wonderful. That's very, very, very important. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the ways in which, what is the purpose of a good education? How is it supposed to help us in our lives?
Well, a good education, as you know, several people that we mutually know that have done well for themselves, it really sets you up to succeed, once you're out of the school system, K-12, or to get through the school system, K-12. Mm-hmm. We have to remember, some people do not still make it, especially in minority communities. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for me, even though I still had hard times after graduating, I didn't get that job right after college, a dream job or anything like that. It took me a little while. I got a master's immediately after I went to college, for the first time I got a master's. And it still was not the easiest thing to find. Right. But at the same time, it did help me get jobs, even some of the more temporary jobs, a lot of jobs now that you might have needed even a high school degree for, you need a bachelor's degree for now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'm not necessarily trying to see, depending on the job, what the specifics are for that degree, depending on the job, but more or less if you were able to survive or navigate your way through that, because it shows that if you're able to earn a bachelor's degree or, particularly that, but at least a high school degree, that you are able to use the tools that, you learn enough from your teachers and through the different tests and things to survive and navigate and use those learning skills in that new work environment. That's a lot of times what it does, because you want to learn on the job half the time. You're not going to know the most thing when you start a job. And even if you already had a job, you've been working for years, and then you decide to transfer to a new one, that's something that, you're always learning. But that's the important part of education, is trying to get that spark into the students to know that you're always learning. So try to, I don't want to do this, or then, they might skip out on assignments. But then that stuff can build. And that's where parents, teachers have to come in, because, you start skipping assignments and not want to do that. Or then sometimes you might start skipping a class here or there, and it could spiral until you get to the point where you might not finish school, or you might not continue your education down the road. And, it's hard to find a job. And we really want now, there's more research being done about the importance of doing a career that you love, or at least something that you enjoy doing, because you're always going to have stress doing things, but education is going to be the way to help set you up more to be able to do that. And even, I'd say, even the jobs that are more trade jobs, that takes a lot of brain power. I mean, you know, we don't sleep on those, you know, and what you learn in K through 12, you know, and when I say K through 12, for those that are listening, the K, I'm, you know, I'm saying for kindergarten, what you learn in those grades helps set you up for that. Because, you know, welding and all the other different jobs that they need, that there's actually a big need for those jobs, too. Education, you know, at least basic education, it is very important for that, too. It's not necessarily one that you can just get, you know, you didn't graduate, you need those skills. So I kind of went a little off on education there, but it's just really important for those to succeed. And also to put that, you know, initiative in your mind to, that you're forever learning, that you will not be upset when you go to a job and you have to make sure you look through the book, the code, you know, to make sure you're on top of things and learning things, because this is familiar. This is something that I know I have to go ahead and carve out time to do, because this is going to help push me to the next step.
I'm thrilled that you said that. Thank you so much. Because critical thinking and comprehension, reading comprehension or just comprehension in general, some things are skills. You know,
yes.
It's about later. You're going to use these things to understand and to navigate your world for the rest of your life, not
absolutely.
Just, you know, on a test in the fifth grade. So it's great to develop the skills when you're young and then have them for the rest of your life. And I think this is a great point that you made, and I really want to dig into it a little bit, too. I would like to talk, we always talk about teachers. We talk about teachers, we talk about parents, we talk about school boards and school systems and what everybody can do in education. But you're in a unique position to talk about what the actual students can do to maximize their education. So what can students do to make the most of their educational opportunities?
Good point. That should be the focus first and foremost in all these things. So I'm glad you put it back there. And I think with students, one, they have to make sure that they are advocates for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be that as teachers. We should be that as parents. We should be that as community. But we're not always that. Or we might not be specifically what their need at that time. So,
well, we're not
one
there
of the things
either.
That
sometimes we're not in the room. We're not there.
You're right. And often, to your point, sometimes some issues that arise are often when we're not there. Like in the recess times and lunch times when there's not a lot of supervision. That's a lot of times where they have to depend on their fortitude, what they've learned to interact and communicate, or there could be some bad things that happen sometimes too. It's just because, you know, what they're taught, you know, often and what they've, you know, been able to grasp and how they've been able to communicate, that all that comes into play, even at smaller times like that when you think, oh, this is just having a good time. And that's actually some of the times that we are the most concerned is when they are on their own. And so that's why, you know, the cliche, train the child the way they should go, comes into play. So they have to be their own advocates. You know, we have to encourage them to, they have a question, you know, I would say no question, is a bad question. I wouldn't necessarily, but, you know, I'd say ask a question, especially for academic, all those kind of things. You know, you should not be afraid to ask a question that is germane to, you know, what they actually have questioned. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, you have those kids that are being silly and different things like that. So I don't mean, you know, that. But if you have, like, an actual question, they should be empowered to do that. Because more times than not, other students that didn't want to speak up have those questions. And so it just takes one person who is bold enough to do that, to do that and help themselves. In addition to that, you know, we should be able to create environments that are conducive for them to be able to be themselves And, you know, even with the teachers, you know, they try to do that. It really helps with the students to have more compassion, empathy, different kindness for their peers. Because there's so much that there's only so much we can do as teachers and parents, but the peers too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of the most important things and connections that they're going to have.
Yeah.
I know for me, I'm grateful that the kids that I work with, they go into general education classes, and they have a kind of a core group of students that they mainly work with. And they have been awesome, you know, working with our students. Because, you know, our students, they're regular students, too. They just have different needs in different places. Not unlike those students in those education classes, either. Because they're students there. They also have different needs. But, you know, just depending on how the their test results come out, they might be, you know, able to stay in that classroom more so than the help that they would need from us. So the fear sometimes of how they will be integrated into the classroom, you know, different students not feeling like they will fit in because of peer pressure. That has been a good thing. One, we work with wonderful teachers, co-teachers and things, but also the students themselves that we work with, I mean, they have been great with our students and with each other. Now, we're not saying that there hasn't been any minor issues or different things, but, you know, the kids, the group that I work with now, I was working with high school 2 years ago. But, you know, they are, you know, fifth, sixth graders, so they can be silly, doing different things, being kids. But I am very impressed overall with that. And I think that's something that students can do, too. They can be better, kinder to themselves and to each other. Because mental health also is a real thing, especially with the advent of COVID. It was already an issue with different situations with mental health with students beforehand. And it has just been exacerbated since then. There's been a lack of professionals when it comes to counselors and similar psychologists and other things in schools and even school nurses and all those things. There's just been a lack of that. And so it's kind of something that they're having to grow up faster. They're having to do more with responsibility. And of course it's helpful for us as a community to get them their tools so that they can be their best advocates.
Oh, that is really profound. And there's so much in what you're saying that is so important. And I want to take us back just really quickly to the peer pressure, because I'm thrilled with what you just said about the fact that, you know, we always think about peer pressure, oh, negative, they're going to lead them down a bad path. But iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And when we get good peers, you know, yes, bad company corrupts good morals, but if you have a circle of friends that's achieving and doing well, that helps you. That encourages you. And so what can we as the community, as parents, do to help our children pick good friends and, you know, be with good peers?
Absolutely. Well, I think one, parents, you know, that are among the biggest advocates of their children. I think that one, when they should, it's one, it's hard, so we should recognize that. But it's rewarding at the same time. One of the most rewarding things you can do. And I'm not a parent. Full disclosure, at least not now. Maybe down the road, but I do know the importance of it. And a good parent makes all the difference because, you know, not to put the weight on people's shoulders, but they're not only raising kids for you know, to be successful for themselves. But I mean, you know, the future is so important. Like, you're raising the future doctors, future lawyers, future sanitation workers. I mean, we need everybody. And so I think the parents, first thing, should make sure that they are as in touch with their kids as possible so that when they are going to school and coming back from school, they're able to better look out for them, again, using the word advocate for them as well, so they know specifically what areas their you know, children need help in. And that better helps them to work with their students, whether it's with homework or those things, which is another thing. They should be helping them with the homework if possible, but also when they're talking to teachers and others, you know, they're able to be more specific about the needs of their kids and also how they can help. Because, I mean, it's one thing to put a lot on the teachers, but if there's some specific things that are working for the students at home, or some things that they could use as tips that teachers would gladly, and other staff, use that. I mean, that just helps them to succeed more in the school. And and also communication, that parent-teacher staff communication and parent-to-child communication is very important. You know, sometimes kids, if they get like a good grade, they should want to be quickly ready to show the grades to their parents. But at the same time, if they get a bad grade, they should not be so embarrassed to feel like something's going to happen if they show them that, because we need to get to the bottom of why they had the bad grade in the first place. They shouldn't be worried about any type of physical or any other type of or vocal harm or anything like that. It should be, okay, let's get to the point of what needs to be done to not only raise the grade, but particularly to help you learn what it was in that task for you to get that grade in the first place. It's not about just getting an A or B or whatever type of grading system they have. It's like, are you learning that area so that you can move to the next step? So parents, you know, can do a lot when it comes to both communication, working with the students, and working with the staff. But also, for themselves, I think that it can be a lot of mental burnout, especially if you have multiple children, but even with just one child, it can be a lot. And so, you know, it'd be nice if there are a team, you know, if you, you know, have mom, you know, or if you have dad, you know, if you have both, that helps, or, you know, you have co-parenting, you know, whatever the family dynamic is, it helps to have more than one person in the life of the student that's working with them to succeed in school or with their self-image or might be financial assistance, because all those things are real. And it's, you know, it does take a village. And parents should know that they're not alone. Another thing that we could do a better job for parents is to know their resources that are out there that's available to them. And I really think that that would help in some ways. You know, I don't have the time. Well, maybe there should be some more things that are accessible, especially with so much being, you know, at our fingertips over the years. You can go to Google and find just about anything. But maybe when they had the parent-teacher conferences, which I have one coming up on Monday. Oh, my goodness.
Bless your
this
heart.
Is my summer already, but I do love the kids. You know, they can have maybe like a link or even a USB data or something for parents that they can use to help them.
So important. As a university instructor, I always told my students that grades are just news. They're not a prophecy because they don't really predict your future, right? They're just news. It's what you do with them. Their information. It's what you do with these grades. Do you study harder? Do you find a new way to learn? Do you get tutoring? I don't know. What you do with these grades is what's important. And so, how do we resist the temptation to decide, you know, grades don't equal the child. You have a terrific person who has terrific grades, and you can have a terrible person who has terrific grades. You know, there's no.
It happens all the time.
Right. So how do we perhaps take some of the report card or the assessment or the testing score anxiety away from that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's one thing when we want to build up our students. But we also don't want to overly reward students to where it will become either one, they don't really see the rewards as a reward anymore. And you know, it's like that balance, right? And so one of the things that we try to do is, at least I should say for myself, is knowing that yes, grades, as you said, our news is, but it is important. We don't want to forget that those grades are important, but they are the process behind that is the most important. And so them being able to know what they need to get a certain grade, you know, is important. You know, this is the steps that you need. And not to get the grade itself, but it's really to show, as I mentioned earlier, what this particular area we're learning in, this is what shows that you have either mastered it or come close to it, because that's really what it is. And I like to show, because grading is different, as you know, as a professor. You've got different people grade differently. So, I show them, or if the co-teachers that in their general education class, we have a good bond. And I think it's important, too, where we try to work with each other to make sure that we're monitoring those grades of students. And we also are not, we often allow opportunities for our students, particularly the group that I have, to change their grades. They
wow.
have an opportunity to, maybe not all the time, but based on, depending on the project, to improve their grade and study and do more. Unfortunately, they don't always take advantage of that, but that's another thing that we have to try to help build them on is, if you have the opportunity, take it.
Yes.
Because it's not always, especially when, quote unquote, say the real world, you know, you always get a second chance. But if you do, try to take that. And if you get a bad grade, make sure that you don't get into a downward spiral because, it's just something where you can get a bad grade. But once you start getting them, it becomes more of a, it's just, I hate school or something like that. And it's like, no, just work on the next one, because once they see that better grade coming after that, then they're often more inspired.
That's right.
And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in between that. But I agree with you. Those grading, especially in these lower grades, where they're doing not only school work and getting grades for that, but the testing that they have to have, which they have a lot of testing, it can be stressful. And so we have to allow for more breaks for them. In fact, in the IEPs, the plans that I have for my students, they do have room for breaks, and I make sure I work to put those in there if they were already in there. Having time to de-stress on some of these areas, because they, even if they're young, it really affects them, just like it would affect something like what we would do as adults, and how we are getting graded or how we are being reviewed. And things like that, and they even though some of the ones that you think wouldn't take it too seriously, some of the students, they really do. We had one test that we take three times during the year, towards the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and the end of the year, and it looks at reading and math. And the students, they some would rush through it, and you knew they probably wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do well, and others they took some more time. But when they saw the results, even the ones that rushed through it, they were upset about it. And it's like, this is what I told you. Don't rush through these things, because this is important. I mean, it reflects you, but it also reflects us as teachers and staff, and even your parents and things like that. It's like you have to take your time. And so the next time that someone did it, they did much better, and they were actually probably surprised themselves at how they reacted. And being excited about how their scores were. And we have incentives as teachers in my particular school. I'm sure many, many other schools we all, we almost have to in some ways for them to do well. And I'm like, maybe little trinkets or, depending on the health of the students, we have to always be careful with the need thing, but maybe some type of food, or something like that, or even technology time or something, some things to encourage them to do well on those tests. Many of them have earned that because they have saw how they did before and they didn't want to do any of those missteps.
Wow. This conversation is just perfect for this time of year, and I am learning so much from you, and I'm sure that our friends listening are too. We have to pay a few bills with these here commercials, but we'll be right back, and we will have much more wisdom and much more encouragement.
Yeah, oh Lord, could you come and save her? Let her believe they get on her knees. knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rita.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
We are having such an enlightening visit. We're learning, we're growing, and we're really being encouraged. And that's all because of our guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Roderick Lovett. I go by Rodney, and I am an intervention specialist, which is an educator in the Columbus area. I've been working in education since I've graduated from college, and I have served in a variety of roles, but I currently work with fifth and sixth graders.
I'm so thankful that you're here, and one of the things I'm really excited about is that I want to hand you the mic, and I would love it if you would exhort our young people, especially as they go back to school. Would you please speak directly to our youth and encourage them?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. And to any young people that are listening at this time, I do want to say that we're going to claim that this is going to be an even better year than it was the prior year. I want to say that you to make sure that you are focused. Know that you have support. And if you do not know where to find that support, build a relationship with your teachers, if you don't already have one, and the staff, and even the administration. Make sure that your voice is heard. But at the same time, it's also important to be a good listener. Make sure that you are your best advocate, but at the same time, make sure that you are a good friend and looking out for others when you can. Education is important, but not just because, you know, of what you're learning right now. It helps you once you build up what you learn over the years to do what you want to do. If you want to be a basketball player or a sports star, well, not everybody might not necessarily make it there, but I do encourage you to work on your skills if that's what you want to do. But you can be work in sports medicine. You can work with constructing different sports buildings. There's different things that you can do that education can lead you to. If you want to be something where it is, you think, out of range, well, you can find something that is connected to what you want to do through education. There are so many different things that you can do that you don't know about, that are even niche jobs that are very specific. If you're doing video games, well, I encourage you to maybe decrease video games at night or day. Yeah. But I also can say that there are jobs in programming, IT, and related things where you can be able to do what you like to do and get paid for it, but you have to focus now. And some things are going to be boring, but some things you might put yourself in your class that actually might be more interesting to you if you take the time to learn it. Just go past that next step where you're like, oh, I don't like this. Often when you say you don't like this, it's because you don't understand it. And I understand, that issue too, because I've gone through that. If you need some extra help, ask a peer, ask your teacher first, but then a peer too, and they might be able to assist you. And when the light bulb goes off and you kind of understand it, you feel better about it. And then you just keep adding and building. You are your best advocate. You are, as students, your best You got to do your best to succeed. You're not alone, but you can do it. It's something that we're not only going to say, you can do it, but I want to venture to say those that are listening to this call and those you are connected with, you will do it. You will succeed because this is going to be a better year.
Mm. Amen. Okay, here you go. Here's the mic. I need you to help. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was listening to you.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I would love it if you would now exhort our teachers and staff. They're so precious to us. They're going back into the classroom. Things have been, well, unprecedented.
and here they are,
and they're so important to our communities. Would you please uplift now our terrific teachers and our such important staff?
Yeah, I feel like we had to play that Michael Jackson song, like I was saying already, you're not alone.
Right, <yeah.
laughs> because it is a hard a job. And parenting is a job. It is. But it's also a labor of love. Same with the being a teacher or in the staff-related role with education. And really, the best things I would say for teachers and staff would be to, one, put the students first. That's important. And know that, too, that it's best, as much as you can, try to get all of your priorities, which you're, have a thorough knowledge of your particular area that you're teaching now, as much as you can before, school starts or whatever, either the day or afterwards, so that when you're in the school, you can focus on more of the different ways of communication and behavior with the students, because you have to put a lot more of that intention on that. You should be able to know as much as you can of your subjects so that you're able to do. You have to navigate that, and you got to navigate the students, how they interact with each other, how they are being, able to connect with the subject. But it's often the ways that they're doing it. It's like you're doing more than one task at one time. You're not just teaching students. You're trying to gauge how they're, where they're seated, how they are interacting with each other, with their, is there something that they're having issues with seeing it, and that affecting the grades and everything like that. So that, a lot of those things as teachers, we can make sure that we are able to do as much as we can before and after school to get those things done. But focusing on the students, knowing too that you have a resource in your other teachers and the parents, connecting with the parents, the relationships with parents has helped me a lot. I'm not saying that all parents were able to communicate as much as they probably would like to with the job things, but that is a big deal as far as teachers. And know that you are shaping lives. I always think about the teachers, particularly those who have helped me along the way and have made, and when they all technically have helped me along the way, but especially those that have had special impact. And it's really a great feeling for me to respect out to those teachers, and even a greater feeling is for them to know that they have succeeded. And so it's not always at the time that you're working with the students where you're going to feel that. You're going to be frustrated. I mean, it's going to be something where in the classroom you're going to probably want to hit the desk or something like that, yell in your mind, like, oh, it's a lot. But at the same time, the rewards. I mean, I was out for a few days, I think because of a wedding. I don't miss many days of school. And I came back, and one of the students that was, I would say, harder to work with, he has different things that he's personally having to work on, some out of his control. Not very much of an emotional student. He gave me a hug. Aww. And, we don't necessarily encourage that, but, this time is different now. But gave side hug and stuff, and I was just like, really? I was so surprised of all the students, and so it just makes you feel like you're doing something good. And lastly, the parents, I would say last, but that's certainly not least. Motivation is important. You work, and then you come home or texting with someone that's working at home now. You're still having this, your kids come back after school. So it seems like the job is never ending. And so I would encourage parents to, one, be looking out, continue to look out for your students, not your students, but your kids, but also to make sure you know that you are making an impact that is greater than yourself. And so many parents are they sacrifice. I mean, not so many, I would venture to say most, all that are in their kids' lives are definitely sacrificing. And so I think that it's important to know that you have rock stars in your midst. Mm-hmm. And you are the ones that are helping them to be able to be extensions not only of yourself, which is important because they are, but more important to build them up to be their best selves, because they are our future, and you are the one that's going to be doing that. You're the ones that's molding them to be who we need in our society now. And the parents, the fatigue is real. And so I encourage parents to, one, keep the communication with the teachers, because there shouldn't be issues, at least not one that can be prevented with parents and teachers. There's a divide often now that didn't always used to be there. There's a mistrust sometimes where parents, teachers, they often used to be on the same page on a lot of things. But I think that's not the case now in a lot of places, but sometimes it seems like it's less so than from what I understand years in the past. Uh-huh. And I think there needs to be a communication that's built up for those supports. But also, parents, it's okay to have support systems, being able to have your kids signed up for after-school programs, involving your kids in different things, where not to put them off just so you have more time to do what you do, because often the parents are right there with them at those programs, but that helps build up the kids' self-esteem and independence as well. I encourage those things because I was always involved. I still am. I'm in so many organizations now. And I think that was started when I was young. Mm-hmm. And so, it's okay for the students to be involved in extracurricular activities, but also being involved in your kids' lives when it comes to homework and help. And then if you're not able to answer that, try to look into different tutoring programs or after-school programs that they have to help them to succeed. And probably brush up on some of those things yourself. Because often, you may not think you need it, but you might, go on Jeff Foxworthy's show and be, smarter than fifth grader. you might be able to know a couple things then.
Yeah, or Jeffrey, get ready.
I don't know. But parents, you got to keep up the fight. And really, from everything that I've seen, it'll pay off in the end, because you are less concerned about your son or daughter being able to succeed once they leave from your household.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's marvelous. That's really marvelous. I think sometimes our children are our most powerful teachers, too. I mean, there's so much
we
can learn just from them. And so what have you learned about yourself during your educational journey?
Well, I learned that I could survive different grades. definitely... different needs, different students, and I do learn a lot. I'm more empathetic. I've always been a kind, compassionate person, in my opinion. But I also can be a person where I don't have my own kids things like that. So it's important to be around young people because I'm more empathetic. I'm able to pick up so much on things that I might have forgotten over the last, several years, from when I was a kid, that they pick up, some things that I think overly, abstractly about, they are more literal. And, it's like, I'm overthinking this. This is something that they are spot on with. And so I'm really always learning and encouraging things that maybe even that I might have wanted to do, or things that I've read about that at that age, would like for them to be able to have the opportunity to do. Mm-hmm. For example, learning a different language. This mm-hmm. is the age to do it when they are K through six, particularly the start. but definitely at least up through 12th grade, you know, still, because people, you never stop. I'm doing my Duolingo now. I had already started Spanish in high school and college, and so, but I had stopped doing it. So I always, you know, continue to try to do something and learn. And that's something that I see in kids when they can grasp something and see that spark. That's always important. So I learned so much with working with the students. Also, communication has been a big thing, as I talked about a few times today, being able to navigate talking to parents, but also, you know, other peers when it comes to teaching colleagues, the different other staff, reading coaches, math coaches, administration. It's helped me to navigate different worlds where I'm able to talk on those different levels. It's really the main thing is, too, some of it is literal, relearning some of the stuff that I've learned when I was a student. Some of those things that we learned at the various grade levels, you might have forgotten those things, but I had to go back and literally learn those things again. But not only to learn them, relearn them, but how to teach them. Because one thing is to learn things, but it's different to be a teacher to teach those. You learn things differently than you teach them sometimes. You have to think about all of the students and how they might learn at different ways and making sure that you are successful and being able to impart these things. Because a lot of times, you know, these grades and things, sometimes, it's the teachers. They have to make sure that there's more reflection being done on how they are communicating things and what the material is that they're putting out there, because they might assume that, you know, it's on the curriculum or the core, but if it's not being able to reach enough students, then they have to really think about how it's being taught and what's being taught and how they can get to where they need to go. So always learning, and I definitely appreciate the experience that I have, and I know I will keep doing that this year, because it's definitely going to be something new that I'm going to learn about, whether it's something that the students are doing with coding, to try to teach me about, or maybe some new pop group or Disney movie, or anything in between, I want to be learning as well.
We have certainly learned so much from you. This has been a beyond beautiful conversation, and I deeply thank you for having it with us today.
Oh, absolutely. I do appreciate you allowing me to speak and giving me the, latitude to really expound on some thoughts in education. And of course, it's definitely shameless plug here, if you don't mind.
Please.
I have enjoyed working and being a fraternal brother and active community engagement leader with your father. And he's a dear friend. I hate to be on this show here with his daughter, who he adores, without mentioning my good friend. And I think I helped with your son's nickname there. We're going back a little while, and so I did want to point that out, too. So we're good friends, and your mom is a definitely great woman of God. So I appreciate you having me. It's a full circle moment for me right now, and I appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you. Our whole family does, and all of us who listen today certainly appreciate the beautiful things you've shared with us, and I appreciate everyone who listens to this show. I know you could be doing anything with your time, and the fact that you share it with us means the world to me. And so I thank our sponsors, I thank our donors, I thank our partners, I thank this network, I thank all of our friends who listen. And most of all, I thank God for this beautiful opportunity. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray all, they pray all. They never look back once the war forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.